In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We've talked about how God has a plan. We've talked about how we are co-authors with God in our life, and that some of the chapters in the book that is our story were written by us, and some of them were written by God, and some of them were written by both of us together. And today we talk about whose story exactly are you telling? The midweek adult Bible study, reading the book Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them, is all about community building and how to peel away your layers so that your true, glowy, vulnerable self is able to meet with the glowy, vulnerable self of others so that you can be in true community. And there are some things that pop up in there that make you go, Like the analogy of the porcupine and how we all have our quills and need to learn how to pull them back in at times. At times, it's good to have your porcupine quills out, too, because that's your defense mechanism. But anyway, one of the things I had to learn how to do, or relearn how to do, was telling my story. For years of having been told that I wasn't dealing with my story because I was telling my story, I had to relearn how to tell my story and to tell the tales and tell the experiences and tell all of 30-some-odd years' worth of life. And what I learned most of all is that in telling my story, I have to be faithful to the God who pulled me through it. Because when you talk about whose story am I telling anyway, the truth is that if you are living the life you are called to live, and if you are on the path that you are called to be on, and you are within reaching distance of that line that God puts out for you to follow, then by your very actions, you are telling God's story. Our scripture reading this morning gets a little, it's a little hard to get into until you figure out what the background behind it is. This is 2 Corinthians. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth again. So you have 1 Corinthians, which is where you have all of the, you know, chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. 2 Corinthians is Paul's apology for being so mean in 1 Corinthians, is the Cliff's Notes version. 1 Corinthians is Paul telling the church in Corinth, you are doing it wrong. You are telling the story wrong. You are living the wrong way. You are doing the wrong thing. 2 Corinthians is Paul apologizing. Hey, I was a little hard on you guys, and you're doing good work. And so we get into this in chapter 5, and he says, Paul says, if we are crazy, it is for God's sake. If we are rational, it is for human sake. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. One died for the sake of all, therefore all died. All for one, one for all. He died for the sake of all, so that those who are alive should live not for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards. Even though we used to know Christ by human standards, that isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. It continues, all these new things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. This is an admonition from Paul. This is a directive from Paul. This is Paul saying, well, okay, I may be letting you off the hook, but whoa, hold up, buddy, you still got work to do in this newfangled Christian thing. This is Paul saying that if you love Christ and if you profess to follow Christ, then you are crazy for him. And crazy in this case is a good thing. I get crazy insane about my nieces. I mean, straight up nuts. I love new babies. I love my girls. I adore them. The same is true for God. We should be crazy for God. We should be bursting with the story of God and bursting with the joy that it brings to live on that path. Now, that's not to say that that path is easy by any stretch of the imagination. No, 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 no. See, when you look at it straight on, it looks like a straight line. But if you got the top view, that red line kind of goes here and then over here and then does a loop-de-loop and goes over here and does a loop-de-loop and comes back at it. That red path that we followed, that one thread through the quilt of our lives that is where God would have us go. If we are going to tell the story through our actions, because it's one thing to get up and read scripture and to read scripture privately and to study it and to come to church and all this good stuff and listen to the story. But if we are going to tell the story through our actions, using that grand old thing that grandma used to always say, you know, your actions speak louder than words. Who's heard that? Mm-hmm. Then we have to put on Christ. There's a biblical phrase for it. You have to put on Christ. You have to wear the bracelet that says WWJD, not as a physical, but as a reminder, kind of invisible ink on your arm, as you will. It's that reminder that in every way you act as Christ would act. You follow the direction God would have you follow. What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's about not putting forth judgment unless you are putting forth judgment about yourself and you're holding that mirror in front of yourself. It's about loving people regardless of what their porcupine spines are or whatever flaw they think they might have. Whatever human thing they try to hide, whatever blemish they might try to put concealer over, we love them anyway. Telling the story of God is important, and it's important for us to be that beacon and to be that sharer and to be the person, to be the people that share how God truly is, to share what we know about what God did for us through the person of Jesus Christ. It's important to remember that we all fall in that category of saved and loved by the one who created us. And it's important to remember that we are called to share the good news of the gospel, to go out and proclaim the word that we have heard. Our hymns this morning, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. There's an old thing, it hangs on Trish. Trish was my office assistant down when I was the secretary at Westminster. And she has a bulletin board by her desk. And she's got this thing hanging on the bulletin board and it says, I want to be so full of the Spirit, capital S Spirit. I want to be so full of the Spirit that when a mosquito bites me, he flies away singing, there is power in the blood. Tell out my soul the goodness of the Lord, the greatness of the Lord, the greatness of our God, the greatness of the story, the greatness of everything he's done. Shouldn't be able to hold it back. Our next hymn, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his mercy, of Jesus and his love. Don't hold back, because this world is the kind of world, fallen that it is, that will try to tell you, Don't keep it a secret. Don't tell anybody. Don't be such a zealot. Don't be so full of zeal about your Lord because the world will think you're nuts. If we are crazy, it is for God's sake. It's okay to be a little crazy in a good way, crazy in love with, crazy overjoyed with, overflowing with, outgoing with the love of God. It is what we are called to do, to tell that story, because that story is part of our story. Because we are faithful people, because we proclaim our baptisms, because we follow that line. And we're constantly looking for where that red line through our lives is. We are constantly going, okay, I found the line. Oh, it's going over here. Oh, it's going over here. Yeah, it makes twists and turns. And, you know, sometimes we get more than an arm's reach away from it. Because we make our own decisions about things and we forget to listen to the one who's speaking. But as long as we remember that it's there and that in everything we do, we proclaim the good news that we know. That Jesus was born, yes, and Jesus died, yes, but Jesus rose again. And it's not enough to keep it just inside these four walls. It's in your everyday living. It's in everything you do. It's in every time you see somebody out on the street and smile at them. You know how powerful that is? You see somebody walking down the street that's having a bad time, and just smile at them. That is a powerful thing. And why are you smiling? Because I got the joy of Jesus down in my heart. Because no matter what it is that is the world's throwing at me, whatever dodgeball I'm dodging, whatever the case may be, I've still got the joy of Jesus down in my heart. I've got the love that surpasses all understanding. I've got a Savior who died and rose again for me, and oh, by golly, we're going to tell that story. He says here in the second part of the scripture reading, this is Paul. He says, God has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you, humankind, through us, the faithful ones. We, the church leaders who are not here presently, we beg you as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. It's about finding that right relationship again and to spread the news that God is here. That Jesus walked this earth, that Jesus not only walked this earth, but died for our sins, died for the forgiveness of our sins, and then laughed in the face of death 3 days later and rose again. Have a little burst, a little unable to contain it, a little bubbly in there. Be a bubbly, outgoing person. And I know that's hard for people who are very introverted. But still, be that just a little effervescent. Just a little bit of bubble for Jesus. Because even if it's not to a room of 40 people, if it's one-on-one, that's still telling the story of God. Say, tell out, my soul. I'm not going to hush you up anymore. It's a marvelous thing we get to do. It is an absolutely marvelous thing we get to do. That Bible in your pew, or sitting on your shelf at home, or sitting on the coffee table, it's the start of the story. It's the history behind who Jesus was and who his people were. It's the story of what he did. It's the story of our early founding fathers of Christianity. But it's just volume one. That story continues in each one of us. That story continues every time we share it. That story continues every time a child sits here and is loved on by every one of you. That story continues when you're sitting down at the county seat, my sister's closet, or the downtown bakery, or the Hearthstone, or Grub-A-Dubs, or whatever the case may be. Just by exuding that light of God that shines in each of us, you are telling the story of the one who created you, the one who died and rose for you, and the one who keeps and inspires and surrounds you every day of your life. It is an awesome gift, and it is an awesome responsibility. Claim it. Own it. And go ahead and say, "Tell out, my soul, my God is pretty cool." Amen.